Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Josh Gattis is out at Miami. Mario Cristobal and the Hurricanes now search for a new OC. It is Monday, January 30th. This is the College Football Daily. I am Lance Glynn. Arguably, the biggest coordinator move last offseason was when Miami hired then-Broyles Award winner Josh Gattis away from Michigan to lead the offense in South Florida. But it was a short tenure for Gattis in Coral Gables, as after one season, Cristobal and Miami decided to move on in another direction. What went wrong? What's next? Joining me to discuss those questions and more is the publisher of Inside the U, covering Miami athletics, David Lake. David, how are you? Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, doing well, Lance. Good to be on with you.
So, David, let's start broadly. It was a really tough year for Miami, obviously, on the field. Weren't able to make a bowl game in Mario Cristobal's first season. The offense sputtered and was pretty bad, to say the least, at times. So what went wrong in Gattis's one season? I know that's a very broad, very open-ended question, but if you can kind of hammer it down to a couple things, what really went wrong for Gattis in this one season at Miami?
Yeah, I think if we were going to nail it down to one or two reasons why Mario Cristobal decided to go in a different direction after just one year, I think it comes down to two main points. And I think it's a failure to connect from a personality standpoint with the other coaches on staff, with the off-field support staff members. I think he was abrasive and rubbed people the wrong way. And I think that was also the case, too, with the players in the locker room. I don't know if he connected as well as he could have with the quarterback room or the wide receiver room. And also, too, just the way the staff has to be structured with Josh Gattis as your offensive coordinator. He coaches wide receivers, so he's the wide receiver coach, offensive coordinator. And I think there was a little bit of a disconnect there with the quarterback room for that reason. Now, he was still around and, you know, still had meetings with those guys, but for the most part, they were dealing with a quarterback coach. So I think there was a disconnect on both sides in terms of Gattis knowing what the quarterbacks were best at, and also the quarterbacks being able to communicate with Gattis with what they like. And then, you know, I do think it's fair to point out that Josh Gattis had some really bad injury luck. You know, it started in fall camp. They missed two running backs for the year that they were expected to have big roles in, Don Chaney Jr. and Trevante Citizen, before the Texas A&M game. Their best wide receiver, Xavier Restrepo, was out for about 7 weeks with a foot injury. Zion Nelson, who coming into the year was, you know, projected as a NFL draft pick, never really played the entire year because of a knee injury he sustained during the summer workouts. And then as the year progressed, other pieces of the offensive line were getting picked off by injuries. And once Miami had to dip into their depth on the offensive line, that made pass protection tough. And that led to a shoulder injury by Tyler Van Dyke that was sustained as he was getting sacked and driven into the ground against Duke. And then from that point on, the second half of the year was kind of a disaster on offense once Tyler Van Dyke was in and out. I mean, he gave it a go in some games, but could never get that shoulder fully healthy. And at the end of the day, you know, the results just weren't there. I think if you look at all the numbers, so you take out the Bethune-Cookman game, this offense averaged only 19 points per game in ACC play, 17 points per game. They really struggled in the red zone when they did get down there. They weren't overly explosive at all. So I think Gattis did have some bad luck. I don't think he's as bad of a coach as he showed against Miami. But at the end of the day, I think for both parties, quite frankly, it was best to just go in a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, just sometimes it's not the right fit. And clearly for Josh Gattis, it wasn't. Like you said, you know, some of it was his own fault. Some of it was just poor injury luck. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that's football, right? You have to deal with the cards you're played. Why did they wait so long, though, to ultimately make this move? Now, I know you were obviously reporting that he wasn't really around the team over the last couple of weeks. So they were sending other guys out recruiting, and it was kind of just a not if, but when scenario. But why wait till earlier this past week to do it instead of, let's say, right after the season or even a couple weeks after the season?
Yeah, that's a fair question. So you're right. Josh Gattis has not been around the program for about 3 weeks. And I think it's fair to ask, why is this the approach that Mario Cristobal takes? I think he learned this approach under Nick Saban when he was an assistant coach there. And I think he kind of models it. You know, he wants to model his program kind of the same way as Nick Saban models his Alabama program. And at Alabama, you know, they don't necessarily fire coaches. They kind of tell them, hey, try and go get your next job. And I think that was the messaging to Gattis. And I think Miami waited as long as they could. And on Friday, it just kind of reached a tipping point. And they, you know, I think they essentially told him, look, we've waited as long as we can to let you try and find your next landing spot, but we now have to make this move official. So I think that, you know, is it the right approach? I think that's a fair conversation to have. But at the end of the day, too, I think Mario Cristobal likes to, in the offseason, kind of focus on one thing at a time. And this is talent acquisition season. And so he goes all in on recruiting, transfer portal, and then once signing day. Now that we are approaching the traditional signing day, I think he figured, okay, it's time to get this done and I can start shifting my focus to my staffing changes I need to make.
Yeah, and you mentioned he obviously likes to mimic the Alabama program in a way. Does Mario Cristobal, and obviously like what Alabama did this offseason, you know, the writing was on the wall for Pete Golding and Bill O'Brien. And instead of firing them, Nick Saban let Golding go to Ole Miss and O'Brien obviously go back to the New England Patriots. So it was more of a parting of ways than it was necessarily a firing. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at a couple names that could be next for Miami. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the College Football Daily.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back here on the College Football Daily, Lance Glenn joined alongside by David Lake of Inside the U covering Miami Athletics. Obviously, Miami looking for a new offensive coordinator now that Josh Gattis is out after one season. So, David, before we look at some potential names and some potential traits that Mario Cristobal could be looking for in the next offensive coordinator, I firmly believe that an offensive coordinator is really only as good as the pieces that are currently there. So, yes. Do you think Miami has the pieces in place on the roster right now to have that next offensive coordinator be successful? Because if they don't, then not saying we'll be in the same situation next year, but the offense in 2023 could be sputtering just as much as the offense was in 2022.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I do believe that even if, and I don't think this was on the table, but let's just say hypothetically, Miami brought back Josh Gattis as the offensive coordinator here in 2023. I do think year over year, the offense would have improved. I do think Tyler Van Dyke is a good college quarterback. And the main area they've significantly upgraded in terms of talent and personnel, in my eyes, this offseason is on the offensive line. They went out and grabbed UCF center Matt Lee. For whatever it's worth, Pro Football Focus graded out as the third best center in the country last year, and I think he's a big upgrade there. They went out and got Javian Cohen from Alabama, who was a starting guard for the Crimson Tide, started the last 2 years there. According to Pro Football Focus, did not give up a sack during his playing time there. I think that's a significant upgrade. Then also, too, they have two early enrollee five-star freshmen on the offensive line they're bringing in. I think it's tough to expect, you know, offensive linemen to start as true freshmen, but I think they're talented enough to push for playing time in the rotation. So I do think the offensive line is going to be much improved year over year, and I think that's going to trickle down to success in the passing game in terms of giving Tyler Van Dyke more consistent protection, and I do think it'll help open up holes in the run game. So, and quite frankly, too, you know, I just think law of averages. I am not expecting a significant leap by the offense here in 2023, but I just think in general, you know, if Tyler Van Dyke is your starting quarterback for the entire season, which he was not in 2022, I think the offensive output is going to be much improved. Now, receiver, outside receiver specifically, I think is still an area they need to attack in the May window for the transfer portal. And personally, I would like to see them add a little bit more of a veteran presence in the running back room, but they like Trevante Citizen, who was hurt last year. They expected big things from him last year before he got hurt. And they also like incoming true freshman Mark Fletcher. So I do think it's going to be improved. Is it going to be a good offense? I don't know. But I do think even if it's an average offense, I think that is an improvement year over year.
Before we talk about some names that could end up as the next OC for the Hurricanes, what are some traits that Mario Cristobal could be looking for in this new OC? Now, you said obviously Josh Gattis was the offensive coordinator. He was also the wide receivers coach. I feel like so often we see OC and quarterbacks coach. Do you think Gattis could be looking for someone more in that realm that also works more hands-on with the quarterbacks as opposed to the receivers? Is he looking for someone with just solely a different personality than Gattis had? Because like you said, obviously there was some disconnect there. What kind of traits do you think he could be looking for in this next OC?
I do think that the style of offense Josh Gattis runs is what Mario wants. He wants a power spread, balanced offense between the run and the pass, and an offense that can, you know, feature a big, powerful, athletic offensive line. You know, in terms of offensive coordinator quarterback, I don't think that's necessarily, it's a non-starter if that's not happening, but I do think that could be the preference here, which for the most part is how things shake out at offensive coordinator, right? Typically, it is the quarterback's coach. But yeah, in general, you know, I don't think he is the biggest fan of tempo. I think he likes to protect his defense. I think in general, right, he wants to have an offense that can somewhat mimic NFL offenses and maybe with, you know, sprinkle in some college approach as well from time to time. So yeah, I think power spread is essentially what his vision is. Basically what Georgia is, what Alabama is. He believes, you know, if he can upgrade the talent, which takes time, then that offensive approach is what wins championships. So I think that's where his vision for the offense is.
David, I'll let you go on this one. Miami offensive coordinator position is a coveted job. Mario Cristobal is only going into year two. Who are some names that he could go after? What are you hearing? I know you put out a list on InsideTheU.com. What are some potential names that are being floated out there for this job at Miami?
So, you know, we just went through this last year, right? So I think some of those names are still names to monitor somewhat. Now, last year, I think when we went through this process, I think his top candidate was Jason Candle, the Toledo head coach. I think my understanding is he circled back around on that situation as well. And that's why recently, last week, I believe it was last Tuesday or so, Jason Candle signed an extension with Toledo and got a raise too. So I don't think that's an option anymore. Tommy Reese, I think, was a guy Mario made a run at. I think when he hired Josh Gattis, that weekend, it essentially came down to Tommy Reese and Josh Gattis. Tommy Reese told him no, and so they went and hired Josh Gattis. How realistic is that? I have a hard time seeing him leave Notre Dame for Miami, but he's a name Mario Cristobal likes a lot. Liam Cohen is a guy Mario Cristobal made a run at, ended up going from Kentucky to the Rams. He comes back from the Rams to Kentucky, has a significant pay raise. I believe it's $1.7 million. It's been reported. So how realistic is that? And then I think, too, there's former head coaches out there with offensive coordinator backgrounds that are intriguing. Marcus Arroyo, who was Mario's offensive coordinator at Oregon, he was just fired from his head coaching duties at UNLV. I've gotten a little bit of Scott Frost smoke here at Nebraska. I think that's a situation that Mario is definitely going to explore. Paul Christ at Wisconsin makes a lot of sense. Dan Mullen's a name that's tossed out there. I don't know how realistic that is, but I think it could be explored. James Coley, I think, is a guy. He was an offensive coordinator at Miami during the Al Golden era. He's currently at Texas A&M. He was Mario Cristobal's first offensive coordinator at FIU. And I do think there's a chance James Coley returns to Miami. Is it as the offensive coordinator play caller? I'm not sure about that, but could he be a co-offensive coordinator? I could see that. And then I think there's NFL options. You know, I think at this point with the timeline, you know, Mario Cristobal waiting to make a move here, it does open up some NFL opportunities. And there's guys like Brian Johnson. I think that's interesting. The quarterback's coach for the Eagles, who's coached at the college level. So I think Joe Brady's a name that gets tossed out there, but I think he's happy in the NFL and his trajectory there in the NFL. And, you know, Jake Peets is kind of an under the radar name that people have passed on to me. He's currently an offensive analyst for the LA Rams. Coach Cristobal has a big affinity for that LA Rams style of offense and Sean McVay and what they do offensively. Jake Peets also spent some time as an analyst at Alabama. Mario Cristobal has an affinity for that program as well. Jake Peets was the offensive coordinator for LSU in 2021. So he's a name to keep an eye on too. And, you know, look, I'm sure just the nature of Mario Cristobal coaching searches, he looks under every rock when it comes to adding to his staff. And so I expect it to be not a long process, but I don't think it'll be a quick turnaround in terms of a hire. So I think he did wait a while to make this move, but I still think there's a ton of really good coaches out there. And now it's just a matter of getting the right guy, right? Josh Gattis last year was a big name, sexy hire, didn't work out. So now I think it's just got to be find the guy who will fit your staff, can connect with your players, and put your players in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of big names there. So certainly won't be short on intrigue, this new hire for Miami. Of course, the Hurricanes looking for a new OC. Make sure to check out InsideTheU.com as they will be all over this search. Follow David on Twitter as well at DavidLake3. Really appreciate you giving me the time. Thanks so much for coming on. Remember to give us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, head on over to the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button too. For David Lake, I am Lance Glenn. This has been the College Football Daily.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.